everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing the show. It's the midweek edition in the middle of October, Wednesday, October the 14th, 2020. You'd never know it, Tom, by this crazy weather. And, you know, we've just got to get away. My wife and I said, we're hitting the road. Next Tuesday, out of Dodge, we are heading for the mountains of New Mexico, where the Southern Rockies meet the Sierra Madre of Mexico, a place called Ruidoso, New Mexico.
So this would be in the southwestern area of
Southeastern.
Oh, southeastern.
Yeah, and you know our White Sands. We're going to visit White Sands National Park. In our journey to visit lots of parks, we were up in at Mount Rainier in August. Now it's going to be White Sands National Park near Alamogordo, New Mexico, that area over there. About a six-hour drive from Tucson. Then we'll be up in the mountains in Ruidoso, elevation 6,500 feet. Boy, are we looking forward to getting out of here and getting some cool air, because this endless summer is just unbelievable.
You know, it's east of that area, don't you? Over towards the Texas border?
Roswell,
that's right.
No thanks. Anyway, we are bringing people together here in the Southern Arizona area on the radio and the green thing, Zocalo Village Studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to the vice mayor of the city of Tucson, Councilman Paul Cunningham. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. I just shared with my listeners, we have to get out of Dodge. My wife and I will be leaving town, hitting the road like so many have been doing, headed over to the mountains of New Mexico. But this endless summer has been very difficult. And when you think about it, Paul Cunningham, all of this started, the craziness started 7 months ago on St. Patrick's Day, middle of March. So we're 7 months into this, and the world is not the same, and we're all trying to get back to somewhat normal. But I'll tell you, Paul, it's fatiguing. It's wearing, people are wearing very thin on all of this, and if you're going to tell me you're an exception, I'd like to hear it.
I am not an exception. Not even close. I mean, it's you know, I'm going to do something real crazy today and just be as honest as I can.
Please do.
Everybody out there is frustrated. Fatigued is a good word. Mentally, it's hard to keep your edge. Some of us have probably experienced some ups and some downs.
Yep.
People would call it depression. Some people would call it just being miserable for a little bit. But whatever it is, we're not at our best mentally. We're certainly not at, some of us are probably surprisingly at our best physically, because we've got some people who are so worried about contracting corona, they've decided that their fitness and their diets are really important. But the bottom line is, and because you're working remotely, or because you may not be working, you have some time to dedicate to those ventures. But it doesn't take anything away from the fact that you miss your friends, you miss companionship, you just miss being out in a restaurant in public and never knowing who you're going to run into, and those things that we used to take those things for granted. I can tell you that I miss Arizona Wildcats football, and I'll be missing Arizona Wildcats basketball. And don't give me any of this nonsense that's watching on TV with the virtual crowd is the same.
The NBA
Finals was not the same.
I cannot get into it. It is not the same. Thank you very much. I've never really been that big of a pro football fan, but now it's just totally lost. The basketball didn't seem the same. The NBA with, you know, the crowd noise. Baseball with the piped in. I can't get into it.
We can't go to concerts and do sing-alongs. We can't go to karaoke and do sing-alongs. We can't go watch our kids sing in their school play or for the chorus. I mean, these are things that we used to take for granted. And when they're gone, you realize what a big part of their life you are. So I think that my message would be for all Tucsonans. One, if you're feeling sick or you were out somewhere where you were worried about your risk, please consider go getting tested. All right. And we have free testing clinics throughout the city. We have multiple mobile locations. We worked very hard on setting that up so that anybody who's just a little worried, say you coughed a couple times and you're like, what the heck? Go get tested. Because one, we have the resources to do that right now. And if you find out that you are, even if you're asymptomatic, you know to stay home and are putting less people at risk. It's a winner all the way around. And then the other thing I'll say is that we've got to be vigilant here, because I'm one of those guys who always wants to see the light at the end of the tunnel on the bright side. I think we're going to get out of this in the next couple months. We got to, you know, it's kind of like one of those things where we're in this marathon and we can't quit in the last, you know, mile. And so I kind of have some, I've been talking about monoclonal antibodies since April and May. And so it's nice to know that I appreciate that the president's so enthusiastic, but again, I'm not, you can't take that. You can take that with a grain of salt. But the science with Regeneron is they're doing clinicals here in Tucson. We were very aggressive in recruiting them to do clinicals here in Tucson. And the bottom line is that their science is actually proven. They are one of the few groups that have taken a disease that nobody could cure and used it to cure it. Well, not cure it, but to treat it. They were the ones that came up with the most effective treatment for Ebola. Remember that?
Yeah.
So that's who those people are, and it's pretty incredible things that they've done using stem cell research to breed hyper humanized mice that have humanized immune systems in mice, and those mice breed those monoclonal antibodies. I know it sounds weird. I mean, I'd hate to see a picture of these mutant mice or whatever. It kind of sounds gross, but I mean, I'll tell you, at least these other companies, the one thing that I've really found interesting in this whole process is that you look up big pharma and you're trying to look up research, but really at the top of your Google results is the money reporters and journalists reporting on the stock prices of all the pharmaceutical companies. And to me, what that tells me is that people are more interested in pharmaceutical stock prices than they are in the actual science and medicine they're making. And that was an interesting part of this process for me as I delved into the underlings of big pharma. And you know, here's the thing. Moderna, who's the one that was they have the quote-unquote most promising vaccine. I hope everybody realizes that they have never made a successful vaccine, ever. So to put all of our eggs in that basket worries me. AstraZeneca is the one that made the flu vaccine, which is only 50% effective. And not only that, there has never been a protein-based, conventionally based vaccine for a coronavirus. So again, though they have some doubt and they have some shrouds. I mean, hey, I'm hoping that one of them comes through. I'm actually betting that one of them will come through. I mean, you figure you throw 10 different strategies and 10 different vaccines at a virus, one of them is going to hit. But at the same time, I'm very optimistic about Regeneron, at least in the idea that if you're being tested early and we have rapid testing available and we know that you're positive for corona right away, before you get on the oxygen, we can give you the remdesivir, which increases your chances. Before you get on the oxygen, we can give you the monoclonal antibodies, which increases your chances. And finally, if you still have some lung issues and are having trouble breathing, they have the corticosteroids and the Luvenox, which combats the other complications that COVID-19 causes. And so I think those are good things. And don't like, don't, I'm not a physician. I'm not even pretending to be one. This is stuff that's been told to me by other doctors. And again, they use words like we're cautiously optimistic and we're hoping, but we're not sure yet. And those are the true scientists. And you know, I want to give a shout out to all our medical and medical personnel, all of our first responders, all the people who are basically at ground zero fighting this in the front lines. The last thing I wanted to do today is there are two stories about pedestrian fatalities in Ward 2 this week. It's hit Ward 2 really hard. One of the hit and run suspects is in custody, but we've had a really tough time, and I think it's a lot of we've taken our eye off the ball because, you know, we were so used to the roads being empty and all those other things. But, you know, don't text and drive, don't distractive drive, don't drink and drive, and be as careful as you can out there, especially for pedestrians. Counterintuitive to what you may believe, there are more pedestrians right now because a lot of people have lost their cars or have no means to drive right now. So we've got to be vigilant.
Let's pick up on that after the break. But right now, this is something everybody can agree on in this election year. It doesn't matter what your political party is. I can guarantee you'll have a good meal at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's is open for breakfast at 6:30 in the morning, and they're open right now for lunch. They close at 2. You can call ahead. You can go online to Mona's Danish Bakery. For their website, monasdanishbakery.com. You can order online, call in your order, whatever. You can eat. There is limited dining inside, plenty of room outside on the patio. Mona's Danish Bakery, and they are open for you right now, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. We'll be right back with Paul Cunningham.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, The number is 795-8226 and on the web at mosgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Paul Cunningham is with us, the Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson. Councilman Cunningham, you mentioned these hit and runs. I do want to note right now at Denny's, 6484 East Broadway, until 10 o'clock tonight, they've got a little fundraiser going on to help Valentina, who lost her 9-year-old son last week in that hit-and-run accident. Her 10-year-old, Max, was also struck. He sustained severe injuries requiring further medical treatment, and this family really has no money even for the funeral, for these ongoing medical expenses. So again, if you're over at anywhere near the Denny's at 6484 East Broadway, 100% of the donations today will go to cover Ed's funeral expenses and Max's medical bills. This is really sad.
So I just came from there. That's where I was.
Okay.
You can go right on up. You can either leave a cash donation. There's a little cardboard slot right in the entryway. You can go to the cash register. They'll take a credit card on behalf of the family. Or you can actually enjoy your meal, and the entire meal is being donated by Denny's, and all the food, whatever you bought, the entire ticket goes to the family. I want to give a shout out to Ed, the general manager there. He's out there in front kind of walking people through, and it's a real good thing that Denny's did. And I don't want to make I say this with no political agenda whatsoever. Just please support all of our families and victims for whatever it is. I mean, again, we forget that real life is also going on. So we have all these distractions of COVID, and we have all these families being affected by COVID, but their families being affected by things that were existed before and will after COVID. And so we've just got to do our best to hold it together, and hopefully we'll get there in the next couple of months.
So that's Broadway and what? What's the
at Broadway and Wilmot, just east of Wilmot, right on the other side of the La Quinta Inn, on the south side of the street.
Okay, so was there an arrest, did you say, in this particular case?
Yes, we made an arrest in that case. I want to say about a week ago, we had someone who turned themselves in who we thought was the suspect, but that ended up being a witness, but we were able to make an arrest a few days later.
Okay, so, you know, this brings me to the crime statistics. I brought this up a couple of Fridays ago with the chief, Magnus. You see these surveys that come out, and they consistently rank Tucson as a crime-ridden city, the worst place for crime in all of Arizona. The chief says it's not true. What do you say?
Well, I say that you got to use the UCR reports from the FBI. That's the first thing I'll say. The second thing I'll say is that every city has pockets and areas that are going to have high call volumes. And then you've got to take a look at what your homicide rate is and what your aggravated assault rate is, what your grand theft auto and burglaries are. And that fluctuates year to year. Our best crime year, we had this really amazing drop in crime, and I think in 2015 we had a very low crime year. It went up for 2 years, and it's kind of on the back down. I don't think the 19 numbers, if the 19 numbers are in, they just came in, because the FBI publishes the UCR every October, and that's for the year prior. So I actually haven't looked at the 19 numbers, but it is that time of year again. So I'll probably delve into that tonight. I think I've been on the show a couple times where I've gone over them. And, you know, you've got these weird things where you'll have a year where you'll see a drop in auto theft, but you'll see a rise in aggravated assaults, and then vice versa the next year. And it's what I'd say for our actual rate, you know, cases per 100,000 people is pretty flat, with the biggest fluctuations in homicide. We'll probably have a higher homicide this year because we had several homicides that were tied together in retaliations for each other in what was what people might consider like a gang conflict or something like that. So that's usually what causes a spike in that number. What I'll also say is that there is one piece of crime that Tucson has that's unique to Tucson that just it's just our numbers for it are just really bad, and that is bicycle theft. We're one of the highest bicycle theft cities there are, and I think part of that is because we have a lot more open cycling days. You can ride your bike to, you know, year round here is one thing. The other thing is that we promote a lot of bicycling, and then finally is that there's opportunity to steal bikes here. And so we do have a very high rate of bicycle theft compared to throughout the rest of the nation.
Now, the chief says more officers are coming online. He admits things are not the way they should be as far as the number of men and women on the street. We do have some people in the academy right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, the plan was to get to – my goal originally was to get to about 1,000 and be somewhere around 19 per 10,000 people, I think, is what we were trying to get to, or 19 per 100,000 people, if I remember the numbers right. You want to get to a ratio. The going ratio throughout the country is anywhere between 16 and 24. We had a couple of years there where we were actually below that 16 number. We've long past gone above that, but I'd like to get us to 20. Now we're now talking about police reform as well. And you know, what does that look like? How many armed responders? How many patrol? How many investigators? How many crisis interventionists? How many specialists trained on certain events after the fact? And so we've really got to examine how many community service officers. So we've got to examine, though, and then how many officers that specialize in transportation. I think that that's going to be kind of the next unfolding question. But I'd like us to get to 20, to at least 20 per 10,000. And I think we're doing the right things. And I think, again, this year with all the craziness, it's a tough time. It's a tough time on two senses, is that nationally it's a tough time to be a police officer. We've got a lot of people where a lot of different departments are kind of airing their dirty laundry, if you will. And I'll say that, you know, Tucson has some of those similar issues, but I'll say to a lower degree. I think that as things have come out, and I think one of the things that I really hats off to the chief on is that when we have these sentinel incidents, we're trying to get the video out to the public within 72 hours. We're trying to be as transparent as possible with these sentinel incidents, and at the same time give it both citizen and official review and due process. So I think that's a great thing that TPD is doing. And on the other side, with TPD, we've got to recognize that yes, we've got some police officers and we even have some characteristics in police departments that is rather pervasive and sometimes not fair. But in TPD, we've got a lot of great officers, and we need to recognize that we've got a lot of great officers here. I'm really proud of the police officers we have in Tucson because they are one of the most well-trained in the world, and they're really trying to do it right, and I thank them.
All right. Before we go, what are you hearing about the GEM show? A lot of people are waiting for, like, the other shoe to drop. We know the Tucson Festival of Books has decided to go all virtual. What are you hearing about the GEM show?
It's funny you mentioned that. We just had a briefing about that last week. The manager and the team are meeting this week on kind of like, how do you want to play it? Because nobody has the right answer. All right. Everybody wants to do the GEM show. People want to come, but they obviously want it to be safe. They want the GEM show is not a GEM show. People don't show up to it. So how do you make that work? And then it's kind of a wait and see. Like if we plan the GEM show now and then there's no medications or no breakthroughs, what will it look like? Well, what if we delay the GEM show because we think that breakthroughs are going to come in. So now you're gambling on the unknown. So there's really no silver bullet to play with. I think all those variables are being discussed, and we're going to try to take the most prudent action. Our best action right now, believe it or not, is kind of not, if we can get, in my opinion, is I'd rather buy us 30 days. I'd rather say, hey, let's start the Gem Show a month earlier this year instead of Martin Luther King Day weekend. We start at Rodeo weekend and just plan on that and plan on having an opening Gem Show, believing that by then monoclonal prophylaxis, possible vaccinations will be available to the public.
All right.
We plan on it that way, but we may not get there.
You misspoke. I think you said you want to push it back a month. I think you were saying push it up. So let's clarify it.
Yeah. It would start a month later than usual.
Okay. That decision probably will be made within a few days, don't you think?
Either by Friday or by the end of next week. Yeah. It's the drop dead date on that is probably October 20th. We need to make that decision by October 20th.
All right. What's your gut on it real quickly?
Too early to tell because, again, there's way more people at the table than just me. The county's got to sign on to that plan, the city, and then obviously the merchants.
Okay.
And that's kind of the big piece.
So it's a fluid situation, as they say. Paul Cunningham, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for having me, Bill. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Paul Cunningham, Vice Mayor, City of Tucson. Coming up next, Beth Gorman. I want to talk to Beth about our air quality. I am not happy with our air quality. Be right back.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love green things. Who wouldn't? Do you like things that are green? I certainly do, and they've got plenty of them on their 13-acre site. And they're already into the, believe it or not, the poinsettias, warehouse after warehouse getting ready over at Green Things. They grow them there, and they have thousands, so they are getting ready for the holiday season. So check out Green Things for all of your garden things that you need, beautiful plants to kind of get some fall color in the backyard garden. Green Things, and of course, they're on the 13-acre site is Zocalo Village, all that great merchandise. Much of it's handcrafted from Mexico and Latin America. The website's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. 2020 is the kind of year we hope we never, ever see anything like it again. And we're all hoping it will be in the rearview mirror very soon. I mean, on just about every level. And that includes when you look at the hot, record hot temperatures, which we continue to have, the bone dry conditions, the smazy air, smoke and haze, that really, for those of us like myself who suffer from wood smoke allergies, this has been a really tough summer and early autumn. Let's bring now on the live line Beth Gorman, Senior Program Manager for the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality. How are you, Beth?
Well, I'm okay, Bill, but just don't kill the messenger. It wasn't my fault.
I know it's not your fault. We had the Catalinas burning from one end to the other in June. Then we had the California wildfires, some from Colorado, all contributing to smoke in the air. We've got a couple of fires that continue to burn out of control near the border that are contributing to this. Then there's there's the ozone situation.
Right. Yeah. It's been a bad few months, that's for sure, and a bad year, really. And ozone, just a reminder to your listeners, we're not talking about the ozone, the protective layer, the ozone layer. We're talking about pollutants that forms with a bunch of different emissions combining together in the sunlight, and that's when we have problems with it during the summer. Normally, we have maybe 2 or 3 days during the summer where its ozone levels are bad. But this summer, we had about 8 days that exceeded that EPA health sense, the health standard that's set by EPA. And it was bad. It was really bad. I know a lot of people were suffering because every time those pollution levels are high, there's a lot of people in our community that are impacted.
Yeah, and Beth Gorman, it's been a combination of these factors with the ozone and then the smoke, and it just it together, it's been an ugly kind of a smazy, I call it, soup. We have exceeded some federal EPA standards, haven't we?
Right, we did. We exceeded. I mean, in the past, we'll do that once in a while, but this last summer, we exceeded the health standard 8 different times, and about 7 of those 8 times were basically can be blamed completely on the smoke from the wildfires, because when a tree burns, it releases the ingredients for ozone. It releases volatile organic compounds, and it also releases oxides of nitrogen, and those are the ingredients to form ozone. So you get the particulates from the smoke, and then you also get the formation of ozone. So it's like a double whammy, and we're hoping that if we get some rain, it'd be wonderful to basically take the haze that's out of the air. That's because those particles are so light. Those smoke particles, they can travel a long distance, and they can remain just floating in the air. And it would just be wonderful if we could get some good rain to wash out the air and then put out those fires for good.
And you can see it driving in here to the station. I see it every day where the there's yeah. like a, it's a white, where normally we have that brilliant blue sky and the definition mm-hmm. of the mountains. Folks, take a look at our mountain ranges. It tells the yeah. story, doesn't it, Beth Gorman?
Yeah, it does. And it's, you know, we're probably just going to have to deal with this until all the fires are put out and those smoke particles have an opportunity to either be blown somewhere else or just settle down. But let's just hope we get some good rain.
Now, what can we do about ozone?
Well, there's a lot of things we can do about air pollution in general. You know, in this particular situation, it was really out of our control because of those wildfires. There really wasn't a whole lot we could do about it. But what we can do is try to keep our background levels of air pollution low to begin with, so that when we have those unusual events like wildfires, our levels stay below that EPA health standard, so we don't violate that health standard or exceed it. So there's a lot of different things we can do. We can focus just on four big ones right now. You know, one of them, you know, we've talked about this before, is just driving our vehicles less. But also, this time of the year is a perfect time to break that habit of idling our engines in the parking lot. Just, turn the engine off. It's getting cooler. Not fast enough for most of us, but it is getting cool, a little bit cooler, and we can turn the engine off and not sit there and let the engine idling. So those two things will help. The other big thing is checking your tire pressure. And this time of the year when we've got that variation in temperature, if the temperature drops about 10 degrees, your tire pressure will drop about 1 to 2 pounds per square inch. So it's a good idea just to check it about once a month. Even if your vehicle is a newer one that has a sensor, those sensors don't kick in until your tires are already low, about 25%. And at that point, your tire is dragging along the ground. It's along the roads. It's using more gasoline than it needs to your engine to get that, you know, the engine and the vehicle running smoothly along the road. And then you're wearing out your tires. So you're wasting gasoline. You're putting more emissions into the air, and your tires are going to need to be replaced sooner. So it's a really good thing to check your tires, just get in the habit once a month. Check those. And then it's also a safety issue. If your tires are low, the air pressure is low, it's hard for your vehicle to handle well and to brake well.
Well, we'll hope we'll get something in here, some rain, hopefully, but there's nothing really in the forecast. October looks like it's going to be, again, above normal as this very persistent high pressure. We just can't seem to lose it over the Southwest. And really, it's not just Tucson that's had these smoke and hazy skies, Beth. It's been pretty much all over the Southwestern United States.
Oh, well, all over the West,
yes.
Basically. Yep. We were watching, because when we have an exceedance of the EPA health standard, we have to gather as much data as we can to show where the source of the pollution was from. So we can tell EPA that, you know, basically it was a really unusual event. It wasn't because of local sources. It was, you know, the fires from all over the place. So we were looking at satellite images that showed the smoke just completely covering the western part of the United States. And as a matter of fact, some of it, even from those California fires and Washington State and Oregon fires, it was going all the way through to Chicago and over all the way over on the east side as well.
Some of it almost made it to Europe, too, actually. I've seen some of these. I don't have it in front of me. I think it's called smokeandair.com, which shows kind of a daily picture of the web on the web about the air quality. And it has really been bad over a lot of the United States. So this is, it's just a, it's an anomalous year, isn't it, Beth Gorman?
Really? Yes. I think so, we're all really looking forward to it, being over.
Yep. Beth Gorman, always a pleasure. Do you want to plug your website real quickly?
We could do that. www.pima.gov/DEQ or www.pima.gov/healthy air, and that focuses in on a lot of the actions that we can take to improve air quality.
Okay, Beth, always a pleasure. Stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you. You do the same, Bill. Take care.
Beth Gorman with Pima County. She's the Senior Program Manager for the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality. She was on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We continue with our 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice candidate interview series. That is coming up next with Andrea D'Alessandro, candidate for Arizona House of Representatives in District Number 2, right after this.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, only a three-hour drive from Tucson. Time to start planning for your visit to Silver City. So much to do in that area, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. For more on things to do and places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Let's go now on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, to Andrea Andrea D'Alessandro, state senator, with us on the live line. Andrea is running for the Arizona House of Representatives. There are three individuals in that race. The top two vote getters will be the state House of Representatives from District 2 reps. And Andrea, how are you?
I'm very well, Bill. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Tell me about this run now for the House. You're termed out, right, in the Senate?
Yes. And it's actually the fourth time I'm running for the House. We go back to my first two losses in 2008 and 2010 in the old LD 30. So it's funny, I've run for the Senate three times, and for the House, this is my fourth run. And I'm just very grateful to the voters of every party who have appreciated my hard work in the areas of public education, environment, and my work on the Judiciary Committee. I like to say I'm the senior member of Senate Judiciary. I've been there all 7 years that I've been in the Senate.
What's the bottom line to this campaign? What issue? What's the paramount issue?
Well, Bill, there is the COVID-19 has really impacted my district heavily. Lucky for Tucson, part of it, there was blitz testing for the virus, and unfortunately, it's hard for a lot of my senior citizens in Green Valley to get up to Tucson. If you're 85, 90 years old, you're not probably going to go up there to get tested. But very optimistic about the ASU saliva test, which I've taken myself. They've actually had it, the free testing, in Santa Cruz County. As you know, I represent all of Santa Cruz County. They had some in Rio Rico and in Nogales, and we have one later this month in Sonora. So I'm very happy about that. But the COVID-19 impacts businesses and schools. Unfortunately, Arizona has not managed this very well. If you look at the graphics and the per capita cases, I know 2 weeks ago we were the ninth highest state per capita in deaths. But people still have to be really careful, wear a mask when you're outside, wash your hands for a full 20 seconds, and social distance. It's still a severe challenge. We have not defeated this virus yet.
Can you imagine what this legislative session is going to be about in January?
I'll tell you, we're trying to set up. I'm very encouraged. I'm pretty confident that we're going to take Democratic control. The last time we had Democratic control was 1966. That's more than half a century ago. And we're very concerned about the security, the health care of the people in the building. Things will be different. So we're trying to determine whether we can meet in person at all, whether we will be doing at distance voting, and there are a lot of challenges.
Do you think, am I hearing you say that there is a chance that this legislative session, at least initially, will be virtual in January? Did I hear you say that?
It's very possible. Usually we're looking for the joyous opening day where a lot of people come and our family comes and we celebrate. But I can't see that happening in Arizona in January, just a few short months away.
Wow.
I don't know. We'll have to look and assess the status of the virus, because we don't have control of it. We'll have to assess it right after the election, when we have the results from the election and we elect our leadership teams. And I'm running for House Majority Whip. So I guess they thought I was good at rounding up people, communicating with people, respecting people for unity, of the Democrats. And I'm primary day. I made a phone call to the O'Connor Institute, and Sandra Day O'Connor brought us together, Democrats and Republicans, for civil discourse, and that's kind of my mantra: unity, respect, and communication. Communication with the Senate and the House, communication to members, and communication with Governor Ducey.
All right.
Because
Before we wrap it up, give folks your website about your campaign in District 2.
Sure. It's DeLisandro4LD2House.com. And I follow me on Facebook just under my name, Andrea DeLisandro.
All right. Thank you very much, Andrea.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure, Bill. Take care.
Thanks
Stay
a lot.
Safe.
Andrea DeLisandro, currently a state senator. She hopes to be a state representative. There are three people on the ballot, two Democrats and one Republican. You vote for two, and the top two vote-getters become the state representative from District 2. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. A lot of information today. Tom Fairbanks put a lot into that program, a lot of content. On behalf of Mr. Fairbanks, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Dave Ramsey's very popular show on money is, how appropriate, right? Coming up next on KVOI. Have a great afternoon in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.